Hilariously Melbourne.
Just like Fifi, Feb and Nick do, more and more people are loving the resort-style living of Mandalay. With a championship golf course, beautiful restaurant, gym, swimming pool, kindergarten and so much more. Head to mandalayliving.com.au for resort living every day.
We haven't seen each other for 6 weeks. I want to know everything. Feb, Nick, what have you done? Where have you been?
I'll start. I did nothing. Go. I didn't do anything. Literally, I didn't leave the house. This is the first time I've been in Melbourne since Christmas.
Wow.
What did you do in the house? This is in Rock. You were down the
drank
the
beer, swam in the pool, drank bottles of wine. That was it. That's all I've done.
For 6 weeks?
And go to the Portsea pub for lunch a couple of times.
Did you go for walks?
No. Alex did. Didn't walk, didn't do anything. I literally did nothing. That was my holiday.
How are you?
I need a holiday. It's a nightmare. It's like you can't go anywhere. Everyone's got COVID.
Aww.
Can't do anything. Mia was locked down. Mia got it. We got locked down for 8 days over New Year's.
Couldn't even go
over New Year's. No, you can't. She lives in her house.
You can do everything. Like people what? Flying overseas. Yeah, where did you go, Fee?
I went to Fiji.
Yeah, but she didn't have COVID.
What did Nick? Because I also got off socials. I don't know what anyone's done. I don't even know what you've been doing.
Well, pretty much, like, I've got two kids under three. We went to Lawn the week after the show finished for 10 days. My parents came down for 4 nights. Then we had a night with just us, and then my wife's parents came down for 4 nights. And that night when it was just us was easily
romantic.
The worst. We're like, no, like we could just be at home.
Any action?
This is the exact, no, not at all. There's two kids under three.
You said they weren't there.
They were there.
Oh, I thought you said you were by yourself.
Where are the kids?
With your parents.
No, no, no.
That's what I thought you said.
No, the parents came down so you could handball them off for a little bit.
Yes, you can.
I thought the biggest day I had was the day when the show finished because I went went from here to breakfast
for a big walk, didn't you?
To the casino. Then I walked from the casino to a pub in Richmond, and at that point I walked
thought
past
it was
our
Rob DiCostella. Started running a marathon.
Our billboard is on Victoria Street. Yeah. Well, it was in December last year when I walked, and I reckon that day I was in a state that if I stopped someone and said, that's me on the billboard, they'd say, no, it's not. Looks very different to the bloke I'm looking at on Victoria Street.
1019 The Fox.
Now, the Australian Open kicks off today, and we have been making headlines around the world over the last week, the Novak drama. And he left last night, deported, gone. Many people have obviously been able to speak to him, and this is an incredibly exclusive interview. We are incredibly thrilled that this came off. We are crossing now to Novak Djokovic. Novak, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello, peasants. It is very happy for you to be in my presence.
Novak, thank you for giving
us. So
gee, you've had a tough week, Novak. I mean, how are you going to reflect on this time?
Well, you know, Fifi, to be honest, I'm actually hiding in Brendan Favola's trophy cabinet here in Melbourne. And
there's nothing in there.
Well, that's it. It's very spacious in here. I've been doing exercises. I've been able to do some laps. It's amazing. It's amazing in here.
What was the Carlton Hotel like, mate, in detention?
I tell you what, I've never seen such proletariat-like facilities. You know, it was, for me, a man of my stature with my bravado and my presence, I cannot believe how far down I stooped to stay in a hotel with such proletariat. It is just not in my nature, you know? I stay in 5 stars and nothing less. That is the lowest star I've ever seen.
Novak, is this the worst overseas trip you've ever had?
The Nick Cody, let me say this. It is honestly the worst time of my life. And I have lost to Rafa. And that is definitely saying something because, you know, for me, this is nothing is worse than this. I am so disappointed.
Hey, Novak, you are hiding in my bare trophy cabinet, but someone else that also likes to hang out with you in that cabinet. Is Nick Kyrgios there?
Nick Kyrgios is actually also in your trophy cabinet, Brendan Favola. Let me grab him.
Pass him on.
What's going on, bros? It's good to be here, bro.
Yep. Mate, how's Call of Duty going, Nick?
Bro, like, I'm actually playing COD now, so this better be good, Nick, bro, because, like, you've literally disrupted my game, bro.
Nick, forgive me, I haven't been across the news, I've been overseas. How are you fit? Are you playing in the Australian Open? What's happening with you?
To be honest, Fifi Box, I don't even know, bro. Like, I think I'm playing. I don't know. I actually don't know. I don't know.
Hey, good luck, Nick. Hey, is your great mate, Andy Murray, your sparring partner, is he with you? Obviously, he's your bum buddy.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'll go grab him, bro. Oh, yeah, Muzzle, bro.
God, that is an empty trophy cabinet you've got,
mate. It's got no one in it. Andy.
Hey, guys. Obviously, you can tell by the demeanor in my voice that I'm really happy to be here.
Is your mate Nick playing? He doesn't know if he's playing or not?
To be honest, obviously Nick doesn't know if he's playing or not. He's obviously going to play up off the court. We know that. Whether he turns up on it, that remains to be seen.
Nick, forgive me again for my naivety. Are you playing? Have you retired? Andy.
I think he's in.
That's a valid question, Fifi. I was pretty much done, down for the count. And then, to make matters worse, I lost to Aslan Karatsev leading up to the Australian Open in the Sydney tournament. And, it's really hard losing to a guy you know you'd snip if you weren't injured. So that was a bit disappointing for me, yeah.
Geez, you've got a lot of energy for a Monday. Hey, what do you think about Novak and the situation he's got himself in?
I mean, Nick, it's a real conundrum. I, for one, am elated that I don't have to face the man. It's great for me because I'm not going to play him. But I think it's a real conundrum and I don't like to get involved in politics. That's very cheeky of you, Nick.
Someone that probably had something to do with this, he might have been at the Border Patrol when Novak was coming in. Your great mate, Rafa, is he there?
I'll grab Rafa. Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. Hey, good luck, Andy.
Hello, everybody. Very, very happy to be on the Fifi at Nick show. It's always great honor.
Now, Rafa, I just did say to Andy Murray, were you and Roger Federer at the Border Force not letting him in so he didn't beat your Grand Slam record?
Yes, it's amazing. The media here in Australia, very, very good to pick up on the uniform that Rafa was wearing. I thought my novelty mustache was a good disguise, but they picked up on it on the news. So good.
Rafa, you're a good chance now of winning this. Are you confident?
Well, I'm going to chop everyone, Fifi. We know this. I have incredible forehand, unbelievable slice backhand, very good kick serve, and I cannot wait to get on the court and show everybody my biceps, my triceps, and my huge quadriceps, which coincidentally got bigger since I got the COVID virus. So,
mate, your biceps do look big. Now, what do you think about Novak? You're obviously all on 20 Grand Slams each. What do you think about him not being able to play?
Well, I think same sentiment as Andy Murray, because obviously now I got to chop everyone. Novak was my only competition, so I am laughing all the way to the bank now.
Well, Rafa, thank you for joining
luck,
us. Raph. Please pass on our thanks to Andy Murray, Nick Kyrgios, and Novak. I hope you all make your way out of Fev's trophy cabinet. And also, look, while we're here for no reason at all, I just wanted to plug a good mate of ours, Elliot Loney.
He's right across
the tennis. Yeah, he's ripped too, by the way, at the moment.
He's very ripped.
He's in ripped condition. But check out, he's on social media. Social media, ElliotLoney.com. Very, very funny man. And I just brought that up for no reason as we say goodbye to these tennis players.
Thank you, Novak Djokovic, Kyrgios, Andy Murray, Rafa Nadal. You're at the Fox. Thank you.
101.9, the Fox.
Morning. We are back. Now, over the break, I woke up one morning and I couldn't get into my Instagram account. So I'd been hacked. My password had been hacked. My email had been changed and I couldn't get into it. So I was freaked. I wasn't real worried. I thought I'll be able to just get it back. So I emailed a few people. A few people come to the rescue. Darcy Vassio from the Cult Footy Club. She sent me some numbers of some people from Facebook. She goes, this happened to one of the girls that play footy. So the full forwards are looking after each other.
So you couldn't get in, but someone else was in. Were they posting for you?
No, nothing. Nothing had happened so I couldn't get into it for like a day. So I put on my Twitter, my Instagram's been hacked, and then a few people go, oh, we can get into it. You know, I'll be able to do it. And a few people sent me to this guy. It's called Pro Hack.
He's a hacker.
Yeah, he's a hacker. And he gets into your thing, and I'm like, oh, great. This is amazing.
Is he a legal guy? Like, I don't think he can hack.
Well, this is my job, blah, blah, blah. I said to him, hey, bro, Insta's been hacked. Heard you're the guy to get it back. He goes, yes, I can recover it for you, blah, blah, blah. Do you have an email and a phone number account linked to the account? But my phone number was my old, because I've had Instagram for so long, was my old phone number. So I couldn't get into it because I've got a new number.
Ah.
And I didn't know, because when you message that phone number, it sends you the link.
Yeah,
and I couldn't because I don't have the number. Anyway, we got into all this stuff. I'm sending him all my details.
Hang on, you're sending all your details to a hacker?
How many details?
Yeah, a lot.
Oh, no.
Anyway, does he tell the ATO he's a hacker? Like, or does he have
he's American. And anyway, I transferred him $550 into his PayPal account. Yeah, I did.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, and then he said to me, "Oh, I need your license."
Oh, no. Oh, man, no.
Mate, it's all documented here, man. It's the best. Anyway, I said
to her. Was Alex aware of what you were doing?
Yeah, mate, she transferred me the money. I said, this guy's legit. Everyone put, like, I thought he was legit. Dead set. Anyway,
all these people I don't know on Twitter told me he's legit.
Anyway, so he asked for another $500 to get the thing. Geez. And I'm like, I've sent him my account. I've sent him everything. So anyway, at the same time I was doing this, I was talking to our great tech audio guy. What's he do, Marcel?
He does it. He's
social
amazing.
Media guru.
Social media guy, that dude. Anyway, I got onto him, and I was talking to him through the process at the same time, and I said, man, I've just sent some money to this hacker. Yeah. Is he re-? And I took a screenshot and sent it to Mars and said, am I getting hacked? And he goes, yes, he's scamming you, bro. So then I teed off on this bloke. I was going, said all sorts of different things. This guy goes, oh, it's my job. I'm not a hacker. You were a hacker. You're a piece of, ooh. And I put it on Twitter and Instagram that he's a liar. And don't use his account. And people were like, bro, we could have told you that. Anyway, it cost me $550. But Marcel, the great man, had connections at Facebook and Instagram. And a day later, got my Instagram account back.
How much did you pay him?
Nothing.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
It's good to be back, and we've been talking about our holidays all morning, just to have a break. And you know what? It was a tough year last year. It was an even tougher year the year before. It's to just to have some downtime, I think, for everybody, whether you've been at home or you got to go away. Why are you laughing?
Sorry, I feel like we left Josiah hanging out there. He said, it's great to see you guys, and you said, good to be back.
You said it four times already. It's good to see you too, man.
I'm used to no love.
I love you. See you later, Bill. <Yeah.
laughs> But you look like you enjoyed yourself, man.
Now I did. Now, look, I was lucky enough to, and in some ways I was pretty brave and I thought stupid at the end of the day. When I heard that the Fiji bubble opened up, I quickly jumped online because I feel that cooped up feeling. I wanted to get away, and I just thought I've got to go. And I'd even attempted some Queensland trips, and they were hard to book. So
everything
I thought,
was booked out.
Everything was booked out. So I just quickly jumped on, and it was so hard to get rooms. And I was just grabbing a room, and I got a group because I took my dad and my brothers came and my nephew. So I just quickly just grabbed some rooms.
You have a travel party of about 50 when you go.
And then
hostel.
And then the day, I'm not kidding, the day after I booked that in November, I think it was like early or mid-November, Omicron hit. And I remember sitting there going, oh, you are I thought we were through. I thought we were through.
I told you there's no way you'll go.
You did. You said that.
There's
and then
no chance.
Even in the few days beforehand, we had to get so many documents, and well done to the Fijian government, even the Australian border control. Everything is done so well at the airport. But I had to get it. We all had to get these PCR tests, but that was just after New Year's when everything was going crazy.
Bonkers, yeah.
And it was they were saying it would take 72 hours to get the results, but we were leaving in 48. So up until we had to leave for the airport at 4 a.m. on a Monday. Oh. At 3 a.m. my test results came through.
Wow.
So I was literally going to be driving to the airport, not even knowing if we'd make it to Fiji.
Should have rang some of Novak's people. They get in straight away.
Yeah, Well, anyway, so we got there and it was just great. I have to, and I don't want to rub it in if people didn't get away. I just realised, and I think anyone who's got small children, when you go to a resort, because look, you know, I know there's great trips you could go on, hiking or exploring European cities, but when you have two small children, this is my ideal getaway. Buffet breakfast, poolside food, buffet dinner, buffet, pool, buffet, throw in a massage every now and then if you can get away. It's just heaven. That's heaven. And there are some people that hate that. I've got friends who are like, I can't do resorts, just this boring.
No,
I love boring.
Yeah, that's me. But now I've got two kids. I'm like, I get it.
Yeah, I do want to stay involved.
There is nothing better than a buffet. Righto, kids. They eat everything because you make them eat all their fruit because in Fiji the fruit's beautiful as well.
But nuggets and chips every meal. Nuggets and chips for lunch.
And they're in the pool.
Local delicacies.
No, order it. You order your drinks. You go bang, pool, and then you go to have your buffet dinner. Then you jump in for another pool, and then they're knackered. The kids are stuffed. They go to bed. And it's on repeat. It's like Groundhog Day.
So good. And you say you order drinks. Well, there was... I didn't actually have a drink. Every morning in the resort, the guy would get... At 11 a.m., it was pool aerobics. So every day I was doing my pool aerobics.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
and then
imagine boxing in the pool.
He was a great DJ.
No, when Vice were 70.
Hang on. Was this guy good looking?
Well, they're all good looking. Everyone's good looking.
I thought there's only a reason you're going to do aerobics.
No. He was playing the music. And then they do pool competitions.
Oh, yeah.
So it's for kids. You have the kids comp. And then Trixie was like, Mum, can you please do the swimming race? Because it was race for a cocktail. And I sort of didn't want to, but she was really wanted me to. So I said, okay, I'll do it. So they get you all up on the podiums and they're like, so-and-so from, Fifi from Australia and Karen from Queensland and so-and-so from Fiji. And then anyway, we all dove in. You had to swim half the pool and I gave it everything. And I came second, guys.
Well done.
Like that.
Amazing.
And I was honestly like a hand's length, like I reckon 2 centimetres off the winner. So second.
I love how like you never say where you live. And even when you're in Fiji, I'm Australian, but there's a Queenslander. She won't even say anywhere where she lives. Second, that's good.
Thank you.
Good effort. Well done. Podium finish. Well, did you get a cocktail?
Well, I didn't get a cocktail. Now.
Who'd you beat?
Hang on. How many people were in the race?
Trixie wants to say something. Sorry, she's here.
Oh, okay.
Little Trixie.
Trixie's come in.
Leon said that you were going to, like, ask me questions.
Yes, I am. Well, okay, Trix.
Did your mum really come second?
Yes.
How many people were in the race?
Two.
Melbourne's 101.9, The Fox.
You may be across what happened last week. Big story. It went around the world. Not only was the Novik drama playing out, but then Channel 7 got caught up in it because of the leaked audio of Beck Madden and Mike Amore. If you missed it, they were having some off-air chat. And here's the thing, in radio and in television, you're always mic'd. So we're always in front of these microphones. Television, they're always on. But when you're sitting at the desk before the camera's recording or you're going live to air, you can have chats that do go to somebody in an audio department. And it was
imagine if our chats went to air.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about that.
Hopefully Costa's not putting something together.
James Costa's a very powerful man.
Wow.
But
my
here's
best
the thing.
Friend.
So
our best friends forever.
Everyone's best friend.
Everyone's best friend.
The shame for poor Beck was it was her first week back on Channel 7 and anchoring the news there with Mike on the weekend. But it's gone okay for them because
their ratings have been high.
They've even drawn attention from Jimmy Kimmel, the late night talk show host over in the US. He had a little bit to say about it.
It's a very big story down under, one that led to this exchange on the TV news where these anchors were apparently unaware they were on the air.
Whatever way you look at it, Novak Djokovic is a lying, sneaky... Yeah.
He's an asshole. He got a excuse and then fell over his own lies, which is what happens, right?
Yeah.
Why is it all the news like that? It's... I would watch the news every night. I think he's a... Now let's check in with Ron in the Channel 9 Weather Center.
Now, Jimmy's got a point.
So
I was thinking about this because we do want the news has to be delivered in a non-biased, very factual way. So they can't, but then they should have offcuts. I'd love to hear Pete Hitchener's real thoughts on something. Do you know what I mean?
If I was a television network,
I would have the 6 p.m. news straight for half an hour. And then later in the night, I would have the chats in the ad breaks and hear what the news readers, because they've got opinions. And sometimes when you hear them, you go, wow, didn't I know Mike was that fiery.
Our podcast should be our off-air chats.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe the best.
I don't know if it would be.
What do you mean?
To get one episode out and then
we're gone. You can say anything on podcasts, man. I've heard your, you can say anything.
Yeah.
I've heard your podcast. You can say anything.
Would all your, like, sign the signals and the things you do with your hands be on the
podcast?
Well,
if you want to do the visual, you can do the visual.
Don't think so.
The Peter Hitchner thing, if you want to know. Well, yeah, what was it?
Yeah, I was about to play a big intro to a good song, but Nick had a good thought to say.
No, well, now I don't. There's no way. Clap him in.
Good story.
Come on, joke.
Do it.
Go on, Nick. We'll do a big drum roll.
Absolutely not. Go on.
101.9 The Fox.
We're loving being back, hearing from you all, 13 10 60. Remember, it's an open line. You can call any time. Want to chat about something? Because you can stop talking over summer, I've realised, other than all I do is make food, prepare food,
really?
And say, put your floaties on, come back, I can't
sunscreen,
see you.
Put your hat on.
Yeah, get out of the pool, we need more sunscreen.
With a three-year-old son, it was just, hey. It was just me for 6 weeks. Wait, buddy, no.
Do you bribe Trixie and Daisy to get out of the pool? Because Toby won't get out of the pool, man.
Oh, well, I can't. It's hard to get Daisy into the pool.
Yeah.
Well, she won't go in. Well, because she's a little COVID baby. And I say that, not that she's got COVID. I mean, when you've, from 6 months old, she was in the house.
You probably
shouldn't swim when you've got COVID. No, I know. But she's getting her out and about has been quite challenging.
Oh.
And
they just take her overseas.
It was like initiation by fire. Yeah. We'll go into that a bit later. But let's talk more about COVID because speaking of going overseas, see, I left just after Christmas and then found out as I left that the cases were exploding here in Melbourne. And then even coming back a few days ago, it was like, it's incredible to think
it's everywhere.
From 100 cases to
50,000.
And what's interesting though, that now so many people have had it and everybody knows someone who's had it. Most people, particularly in this team, have had it.
Well, Mia had it, my daughter.
Yeah, so, but all there is now still, remember you said this last year, Nick, you said there will be a time limit on how often people can use COVID as an excuse to get out of things.
Yeah. Can we still use it to get out of work?
I think you can.
Yeah, that's
good.
But
I think you have to test negative. Test negative. Sorry, mate, I don't have it. I can't come in. I had one line.
Good setup, man. Good setup.
But it is for people who like to get out of things. It'll be a great excuse. Yeah. And here's the ultimate. This girl's gone viral on social media because she was on a date, a blind date, that she wasn't enjoying, and she used it as an excuse to leave the date.
It was probably the worst day I've ever been on in my life. Okay, and to get out of it, I went to the toilet, got my friend to send me a fake COVID positive test, text, and I changed the name to the NHS. Then I went down and I was like, oh my God, look, you're not going to believe it. But I tested positive. And he was like, what are you going to do? And I was like, well, I'm going to have to go home. And then after that, I went to a club with my friend and I slept with somebody anyway.
Oh. 13 10 60, are you or have you used COVID as an excuse to get out of something? Because at the moment, it would be absolutely not questioned. You'd just go, yep, fine, don't worry, we won't see you. Don't have to come to the christening. Okay, we understand that. You don't need to come to the wedding. I mean, things you don't want to go to. And I'll tell you who I really feel sorry for. Remember that guy in the middle of last year? I think he was in Wollongong in New South Wales.
Lied to his boss.
And he lied to his boss and said he had COVID. And I think he lost his job and he was fined like $50,000.
Yeah, he got smart.
He went with the lie 6 months too early. But 13 10 60, have you been using it to your advantage?
101.9 The Fox.
The kind of good thing I find about a holiday or a break is switching off. And I really did disconnect. I didn't get onto socials. I stayed off news sites. And just, I felt I was becoming grounded and forgetting to get caught up in things. Because if you noticed, everyone these days has an opinion. Everybody's got opinions and everyone gets fired up about things. And I thought to myself, no, I'm not going to do that again. I'm just going to let things go. And even when there's news stories that I get, they rankle me, I'm going to let it go. And I thought to myself, I was lying on the sun lounge at the resort and I thought, even if there was a Harry and Meghan story, because let's be honest,
that is your
that's your go-to.
That's
your red flag to a bull.
It used to be Harry Dan Andrews and the East West Link, but
now you're like, yeah.
But then it's turned into Harry and again, I thought to myself, just they've got nothing to do with you, and good luck to them, and they've got a beautiful family, and they're probably nice people. I just think it's a bit rich the way they treat their family and the way they're hypocritical and they get on.
Go.
Oh, God, they tell us
go.
To be concerned about climate change,
about
and then they get on jets. And
warming up.
Anyway,
She's warming up.
No, but I thought to myself, I may not even talk about them on the radio this year. Like, I'm just going to let it go.
Can't believe you're thinking about radio when you're on a holiday.
But then yesterday, have you seen that not only is the Queen that dear woman, she's 95. Her son Andrew is really.
He's in some prop and bubble.
I mean, he could take down. He could take down the monarchy.
He's done.
Wow.
He could honestly destroy the monarchy with what he's done.
Yeah. And he's not part of it now, anyway.
No, but think about how upset she would be personally, because they've always said she's the favourite son. Yeah, he's the favourite son.
Not anymore.
And then her grandson, Harry, yesterday has launched legal action against his grandmother, the Queen, demanding that they reinstitute the payment of security for him and his family. So he's taking them to court to say, we need our security paid for by the British government. You left. You walked away.
Yeah.
You've taken millions from Netflix, Spotify, Oprah.
Mm.
And then you turn around to the poor British public and say, your money is going to pay for my security, for me and my wife.
And he's
But you wouldn't want something to happen to him.
Then pay. Yeah, but no, but he opted out.
Fake your own kidnapping and say, oh, well.
He opted out.
Wasn't he in the army?
Yeah.
Now he lives in America. Just go to the shops, get a couple guns.
Yes.
Sort your own security out.
Wouldn't endorse that. No. It's a bit dangerous. Guns are dangerous, man.
Froth and bubble.
Anyway.
Guns are dangerous.
I just want to go back to being Zen. I'm going to get over it. I've got it off my chest. There we go.
What would you tell Harry if you saw him?
Geez, oh, wow.
If I saw Harry.
Hold on, Fee. Take the cucumbers off the eyes. It's not relaxing time.
I would say I'm all for you leaving the monarchy, going to the US, or more wanting your privacy. Weird that you then go and do all these reveal all interviews and talk about other people that probably don't want to be talked about. But do what you want, Harry. But don't go back to England and say, give me all your money so I can pay for my security for my wife. Send Meghan back to Suits. Go and do some work.
She's a lawyer. She could organise it.
Exactly.
Isn't it just embarrassing to have to tell your wife, I've just got to ask my nan for some money?
Hilariously Melbourne. Fifi, Bev and Nick love resort living. And just 40 minutes from Melbourne, Mandalay is resort living every day. With a championship golf course, clubhouse, gym, swimming pool, primary school and more all delivered. To find out more, visit mandalayliving.com.au. Woo-hoo!